Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare, Gaurahari, oh Gaurahari, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhu Para, Jaya Prabhu Para, Prabhu Para, Jaya Prabhu Para, Jaya Jaya Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radha Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo Krishna Krishna. I want to greet all of you. Thank you very much for attending today's last seminar. It was a quite intense week for all of us, I believe. We had so much information. I always say to my audience, and in fact to all the devotees who have been in seminars, now, starting from this afternoon, comes Radha Desh. Part number two. We have to apply some of the teachings in our regular lives. And I will today approach humility from this direction. I really, really hope that I will be able to finish so as to take your questions. May I ask, who of you likes to be loved, wants to be loved by others? Then you must become humble. There is a very interesting episode in the Mahabharata. Most of you know about it, so I will only draw a sketch of it, not a complete picture. Once Maharaj Yudhishthira had to answer the questions of a yaksha, a mystical being, who later revealed his identity as Dharmaraj or Yamaraj. And the yaksha asked a series of above 70 questions, more than 70 questions, and one of the questions which would decide the life of the other Pandava brothers who had been, so to say, killed by that yaksha. One of the questions was, what does one need to give up in order to become lovable? And immediately, Maharaj Yudhishthira answered, one has to give up pride. See, in our civilization, we are so much hankering for the affection and the maybe appreciation of others. Now we are devotees of Krishna and we may have given up to become extremely popular in the eyes of the television. But at least we want to be appreciated by our fellow devotees. We need this, and there is a legitimate amount of appreciation which everyone really requires in his or her life. If there's no one who gives us a pat on the shoulder or appreciates us for what we are, we become hopeless and depressed and feel there is no support and so on. But unfortunately, from our Western upbringing, we have thought we become lovable if we display some opulences to others. If I would say, oh, Love me because I've written 3 books in Krishna consciousness. And love me because I'm 1.80 meters tall. Love me because of this activity or that external feature, beauty or eloquence and so on. I'm actually making a mistake. People don't love people because of, let me say, big displays. Someone who brags around with his real or imagined successes is not becoming lovable. The person who is humble becomes appreciated. This was the road which Mahaprabhu chose in order to convince Prakashananda Saraswati with his 60,000 disciples in Varanasi. Mahaprabhu came to the same lunch engagement where Prakashananda and many of his disciples came, but he sat down not on an equal level with them. When Mahaprabhu arrived, he washed his feet like all the other sannyasis had done, and then sat down there where the foot washing place was. Can you imagine if 2,000 or 3,000 sannyasis all washed their sweaty feet? What must be the smell of that place? It must have smelled a little intense. So Mahaprabhu sat down at this place and just stayed there. And finally Prakashananda Saraswati looked over and saw this sannyasi of whom the whole town was talking. After all, he had converted everyone who came into his near or close vicinity. And he was always seen with his kirtan in the town, and the Mayavadi sannyasis were disturbed because he was bringing people away from their fold to his fold. And Prakashananda went over and said, well, why are you sitting in this place? You come and sit with us. At this moment, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested the Brahman effulgence which came from him. But he did not say, I am Brahman or I am God. He said, I am of a lower sannyas initiation than yours. I am from the Bharatis group, and there are 10 groups, and I am from the low. Prakashananda said, don't talk like this. And he helped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to come to them. He was charmed by the humility. In the beginning, he was full of anger towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for converting his, for being in his preaching field, so to say, and converting his people. But later, he was so much charmed and won over by the humility of Mahaprabhu just sitting there in this stinky place that his heart melted. My dear devotees, this is not theory. Humility wins the heart of others. It is really real. A little, maybe 3 years ago, I visited Varanasi, and I stayed for a whole day at the Burning Ghats, writing on one chapter of a book which I will publish when I'm old and mature. It is the book's titled is There Is No Death, a book against fear. And I wrote one full chapter there, seeing how one body after the other was burned down. And afterwards, I was so dizzy, maybe from the smoke or from the experience and so on, that I needed to take some rest somewhere. So I took my notebook and my pens and went through Varanasi in the hope to find somewhere a romantic ashram at the side of the Ganga. And I found one, and as I was entering, I saw many Mayavadi sannyasis entering together with me and sitting down for a discussion on Vedanta. And I said, I don't care. I said, just in my with my most blissful smile, Vishram Koro, I will take a rest. And they said, Tika, and hinted at a corner. So I was lying there like a little dog while the Mayavadis had their Vedanta Sutta reading. All of a sudden, I woke up from my rest with a start, because I heard the loud chanting of Hare Krishna. I looked, and there were the Mayavadi sannyasis, old sannyasis, and swaying back and forth and singing the Maha Mantra. Mayavadi sannyasis, who had just read some, had the Mayavadi program, while I was happily sleeping in the corner. And I asked one of the leaders after the kirtan was over, why do you chant? This is a Vaishnav practice. And he said, we are Vaishnavs here. Don't you know, 500 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and convinced our Prakashananda. And from that time, we end our part, our discussion, with a Hare Krishna kirtan. Mahaprabhu has told us, and in other words, what I saw is Mahaprabhu's influence even over the times. These Mayavadis are not Paka Mayavadis. They chant and dance, and it was really nice, fired up like bhaktas. Mahaprabhu had won their hearts. That's my point. On an ongoing time, even 500 years later, they did this. And would have been a nice photo for our Radha Raman to take. Snap. Because someone who is humble immediately attracts the attention of others. It is not necessary to be so proud and so talk about our own qualities and or even to win big titles and so on. You can be at ease. You just need to be a simple devotee, humble in your heart, and then people will love you. This I'm using now arguments which are not so intense to win you over to the side of humility. I think you note my intention here. I would like to make another two other points, and then go into Sanatana Goswami's humility test. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam which says that Krishna destroys the pride of his own people. Krishna himself takes an interest to destroy the pride of his devotees. For instance, when the gopis were with him, they thought themselves to be the most fortunate women in the universe, but Krishna just disappeared from them. He didn't want that they are proud. Krishna destroys the pride also in our lives. Whenever we have some pride in our hearts, if we look carefully, Krishna will arrange a situation in which our pride is taken away from us. I like in particular one poem by His Holiness Satswarup Maharaj, where our Maharaj says like this. It's called Sikh. My list of things to do falls to the side. All I can do is moan and groan. But, O Krishna, one sincere call for you is more worth than 1,000 years marching in pride. Hasn't he expressed it very nicely? It's more worth if you go to, "My dear Krishna, please do not kick me away from your lotus feet. Please accept me." It's more worth than so many big achievements which are tainted with pride. In the eyes of God, He looks for humility. So there are many, many stories from the Puranas where Lord Krishna takes away the pride of His devotees. But I want to have time for question answers in the end. So I will now go a little bit faster. I would like to suggest to all of you a simple test in humility, which has a very, very nice effect on your lives. You all know the verse Trinada Pisunichena. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. I would like to suggest to you to do what many devotees do, that is a question. Starting the day with a question, do I think myself lower than the straw in the street? In other words, do I think myself to be an instrument, or do I think myself to be a doer? That is a question where you can test your humility. One should be more tolerant than a tree. You should can ask yourself during the days of your life, do I tolerate or do I retaliate? Do I accept or do I want to push my point forward? This is a good question to ask. Once every 14 days, that means every Ekadasi, a devotee should make an inventory of his life. Then you can ask yourself, how is it with my prestige level, my false prestige level? Am I really ready to offer respect to others? Or do I secretly look, when do I get some respect? And this is three questions which you might like to ask yourself. I found out a very gentle way of entering the realm of humility is to give credits for others. The ordinary person takes credit for things which he actually did not do, and he blames other people for faults which he has committed, or blunders. So upside down, horrible. A good way to enter the area of sincere humility is to give credit to others. And if you do this, you will immediately feel some nice feeling in the heart. You please try it. It works magic on your life. When people say to you, "Oh, you are so nice," then you say, "Well, there's some very good devotees who have encouraged me." There is a very nice little episode from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was when Vallabha Bhatta came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, "You are the incarnation of the Lord in this age of Kali, because there is a shloka which says only someone who is empowered can spread the holy name. So because you have spread the holy name so well, far and wide, you must be empowered, you must be an incarnation, a Shaktyavesh avatar. Haribol." He said, "Krishna Shakti Vine Nahe Tara Pravatan." Huh? Do you know what Lord Chaitanya answered? He said, "Oh, here's Advaita Acharya. He's a scholar, he's a brahmana. He told me all about bhakti tattva. And here's Nityananda, the avaduta. Look at him. He taught me about compassion. He even saved Jagai and Madai. And there is Ramananda Rai. He told me about the complicated science of rasa in Braj. And in this way he went on and on and on. Finally he talked about Haridas. Haridas is the real chanter. He doesn't even take food or drink before he has completed his rounds. And in this way, he gave the credit to others. My dear devotees, I want to sincerely suggest this as a regular practice in your life. When someone praises you, or when someone is attentive to you, give credits to others. It in the beginning it feels like for us, oh no, what if the attention of the others who praise me now, which finally I got some praise in my life together, if that is diverted to other devotees, oh no, then I won't get enough. But it's quite the opposite. As soon as you are able to give credit to others in your heart, you will see that Krishna is just so satisfied with you that you have a feeling of all-around well-being in you, and you begin to make your steps in the kingdom of humility. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yash. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said this inappropriate desire for fame is like the desire for the stool of a boar. It's double stool. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Even the great incarnation of God, Prithu Maharaj, he did not want this type of recognition for which most of us are so eagerly interested. When he was coronated, many citizens came to give him praises and also gifts. And I told to them, my dear devotees, he said, actually, my dear devotees, it's not an invention, this address. My dear devotees, headed by the Sutta. Sutta is a person who is able to speak nice praises and put them into poetic meter. Just now, please don't glorify me, for I have not done anything praiseworthy. You could glorify. I'm just now coronated. I have not even started my activities. Therefore, how could I engage you to glorify me just like children? There is nothing to glorify about me. So this we hear everywhere. Now I want to read to you a prayer. Are you ready for the prayer? Yes, said the sleeping crowd. Gurudeva, Ami Gurudeva, mi salvador. Ami Gurudeva, mi salvador. Hare Krishna, now you're awake. This is not a traditional prayer. This comes from Brazil. It means, my guru is my savior. It is a very nice song in Brazilian language. I will read to you another by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Gurudev, O spiritual master, please give this servant just one drop of mercy and make me feel lower than a blade of grass. Give me all help. Give me the strength to stay equal-minded in all circumstances. And help me to become free from the desire to be worshipped. O Lord and Master, invest me with the power to properly respect all living beings. Only then, by chanting the holy name in great ecstasy, all my offenses will cease. O Lord and Master, when will this person be blessed with your mercy? I am fallen, devoid of all strength and intelligence. Please make me your loving servant. If I examine myself, I will not find anything valuable. Your mercy is all that I am made of. If you are not merciful to me, I can only weep, and I will not be able to maintain my life. Isn't it beautiful? Doesn't it sound right to sing this? Gurudeva Kripa Bindu. Bindu means drop. Please give me a drop of your mercy and actually make me humble. I believe sincere humility is a gift of God. It is something which will bring you to God. And the very good example of it is Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami. Oh, Sanatan Goswami. Oh, Sanatan Goswami. Where to start, where to end? I would like to bring to your attention one story which I feel is like an entrance into the kingdom of humility. It's a little inconceivable. You all know Sanatan Goswami was highly accomplished. In fact, he was given the Bhagavatam by Lord Krishna personally, who one morning knocked at his door in Ramakeli, and he appeared in the form of a Brahmin boy and said, I have a wonderful book for you. And he gave him the Bhagavatam and disappeared. Sanatan Goswami served in the Muslim government because the Nawab had said, if you are able if you rule, I'm able to rule the rest of Bengal. If you are not there, I will not be able to do it. So we make a contract. I will give you half of my kingdom. You just rule. You have a lot of freedom, but you have to do your work. I'm not from here. If you don't come, I will terrorize all the Hindus and I will kill many of them. So Sanatan Goswami was forced, if he didn't want the death of so many people, to enter the government rule. He wrote Vaishnav literature. He was never a Muslim, who lost his orientation in life or whatever. He wrote Vaishnav literature, worshipped Radha Madan Mohan parallel to his office job, and explained the Shastras to the learned scholars of the day, even at that time. But later he went to Vrindavan to do his work, which you all know, and one day he decided to go to Puri. On his way to Puri, something happened. He drank bad water and as a result developed what is called weeping sores. That is, pus came out from open wounds. When he was in Puri, he felt so despondent with his body, his aching body, his weak body, that he thought, I can't do any service for Mahaprabhu. Especially his despondency increased hundreds of times when Lord Chaitanya would always visit Haridas Thakur and embrace Sanatan. And when he would loosen his embrace, all his body was covered with the pus, yellow pus from the wounds of Sanatan. So one day, Lord Chaitanya decided to put Sanatana Goswami to a test. He stayed, as you know, there is in Puri, it's called the Gauranga Road. It is different streets which connect to each other and which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would walk upon every day. He would see Haridas Thakur. No, wrong. He would go from Gambira and go where Jagadananda Pandit is, go in the ocean, take his noon bath, then go to Haridas, and then finally he would end up at Tota Gopinath's place where his dear devotee Gadadhar would read to him different scriptures. If you are in Puri, please go the Gauranga Road. It's really nice. You can go to all the places left and right on the road which Mahaprabhu visited, and if you are, please do it with kirtan. We always go with instruments all the time. It's also nice for preaching to have a singing and dancing group of Vaishnavas, and you can feel you're entering through a time worm. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's times when you just go the Gauranga Road and don't look left and right, only go to the places which Mahaprabhu visited on the way. Anyways, so Mahaprabhu listened to the Bhagavatam in Tota Gopinath, and he took sometimes his rest at Yameshwara. Yameshwara is a temple which is only 3 minutes away from Tota Gopinath. So one fine day, he said to his servants, bring Sanatan, he should take lunch with me. There are two ways to go to this place. One is the shady road, Gauranga Road, which goes by the Singhadwara Gate, and the other is over the beach, which in May and June becomes terribly hot. Who of you was in Puri? Have you gone with bare feet on the beach when it was really hot? It's really like your feet begin to smoke and you get worried. What? this can be, it's like glowing coals. So when Sanatana Goswami arrived at Yameshwara, the first question Mahaprabhu asked him is, which road did you take? Sanatana said, why? I went on the beach. Oh, said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, your feet must be covered with blisters. Why did you take this road? It's really the killer road. If you go over the beach in Puri at May, June with bare feet, I mean, I just once did this to go into the water, and I had to, I started to run, and then I understood I won't get there without blistered feet, so I stopped and I put my behind on the gamsha and the feet up and the arms up and just said shoes. And someone brought shoes, but it's really inhumanly hot. But Sanatana Goswami had walked barefoot all this long way. Mahaprabhu asked, why have you done this? Why didn't you take the shady road in the summer? And Sanatana said, I would have to pass the Singhadwara where the pujaris go in and out, and they would have seen me, they would have touched maybe my body, and they would have become polluted by my contaminated existence. I didn't want to pollute them. Therefore, I took the longer road over the beach. But my Lord, this shouldn't be your concern. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cried. He got up and he embraced Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami wanted to run away. Mahaprabhu ran behind him, caught him and embraced him. And finally, when he took away his arms, the body of Sanatana was cured. Caitanya Mahaprabhu explained, "My dear Sanatan, if I would have made a if I would have not embraced you just because you have open wounds, I would have made an offense. I am very happy to embrace my devotees." See, if the mother is becoming dirty by the stool and urine of his child, it's a pleasure for the mother. It's not a matter of disgust. In the same way, I do not mind my devotees being polluted and contaminated. It is not a problem. And then he spoke the verse, or Krishna's Kaviraj talks about it, that a devotee from the eyes of the Lord is lifted with his initiation on an equal level as the Lord is, that is, on a spiritual level. See, Haridas Thakur late was also present, and he said, "My dear Lord, it was you who made Sanatana Goswami sick, who gave him weeping sores. And it was you who embraced him and took it away, just to show and demonstrate this quality of your devotee." It is so nice. Here it says, Krishna somehow manifested itching sores on the body of Sanatana and sent him here to test me, said Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was Krishna. If I would have hated you, I would have to be chastised for offenses against Krishna. Haridas commented, "My Lord, you made Sanatana drink water and afterwards caused the itching sores. This is how you examined him. No one can understand." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna puts his dear devotees to a humility test. Here Sanatana Goswami, who is obviously associate of the Lord, was tested severely. How much he would continue, how much he would remain faithful in devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed through him that even a devotee who has some pain in his life is able to tolerate the pain by his humility in Krishna consciousness. Our only hope is in our lives to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and we will only be able to do it when we are humble. And therefore Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that this verse Trinada Pisunichena is the Siddha Pranali, the verse which gives all perfection in our lives. This was a little bit my humility part in the seminar. I have many more notes, but I will not read now to you anything. I will just round the seminar up for you and then see if you have any questions in regard to the seminar. My rounding up of the seminar will be a simple point. Sometimes in our spiritual lives, we wish to make advancement and we feel that I'm a little bit stuck. The way we feel we are stuck is that we develop the half-dead syndrome. We only function in Krishna consciousness, but we are not carried by love and affection for Krishna and the devotees. We are just living from day to day, and our heart is silent and then fast asleep. At that time, we need to do something to waken up our spirituality again. And I would like to say that this can be done by adopting powerful spiritual principles and somehow bringing them into our lives. One is simplicity, the other is sense and mind control, the next is forbearance, and the last is humility. If we can orient our lives according to these principles, the principles will protect us. I still have in my mind this wonderful Krishna Katha. You know, when Lord Krishna was in Braj, he would play with the little calves who were around the house because they were so young. He would sometimes grab the tails of the calves, and the calves would just pull him through the mud and dirt of Braj, and it was he would become all muddy and cow dungy, and he would then crawl on the laps of his mothers, who wouldn't mind, but who would embrace them. And so he took care of the little calves. But then the time came, I forgot exactly, I think it was when he turned around from 5 to 6, when he was given the task to bring the cows for taking grass in Braj meadows. And he would, his mother gave him a very nice cow herding stick. It is a little red, and it has some very nice cordel around its string, golden string. It looks very beautiful. Krishna left that cowherd stick when he went to Mathura. He didn't take it with him. And whenever Mother Yashoda saw that red and golden stick on the wall of her house, she would cry in deep separation from her Gopal, little Gopal, the cowherder. On that day of Krishna's birthday, when he was eligible to take the cows out, Mother Yashoda gave him a set of jeweled sandals against the pricky thorns and the stones, and a servant to carry an umbrella for shading, for giving shade to the Lord. But Krishna immediately said, "No, Mother, I cannot accept you, only if you give this to my cows." "But Gopal," said the mother, "this is a rather expensive undertaking. They need 4 shoes, one for each leg, or one for each foot, and they are millions of cows." And then a servant with an umbrella. How is it possible? And then Krishna said one very nice sentence, which I very much like and appreciate in my life. He said, "Mother, my dharma is it to protect the cows. And how can I take more than I give to the cows?" And then he said the sentence, I don't know it in Sanskrit, but I know it in English. How? Dharma rakshati. Yeah, dharma rakshati rakshitaha. He who protects dharma is protected by dharma. Dharma rakshati rakshitaha. That is such a nice sentence. If you can somehow adopt spiritual principles in your life, these principles will accompany and protect you. They will be with you. In the beginning, it may be a little bold. Oh, now I become simple. Oh no, what will happen if I become tolerant? Oh no, what disadvantage will I fall in when I'm humble? And the whole world will stomp on my stomach and abuse and misuse and so on me. But it's not true. If you link up with true spiritual principles, you will you will see wonders working in your life. I want to end with giving you a little illustration. It's always a little touchy to go into Serbia. So just one and a half weeks ago, I went to Serbia, and I always like to travel in Vaishnava clothes. I somehow feel naked in pants and shirt. Maybe not naked. Maybe I am afraid that no pen will fit because I am a prashada man. and then I know when you go in Vaishnava cloth, they will have millions of questions. And then I said to my assistant Gaurahari, "How do you want? Can you imagine to go in pants?" And Gaurahari said, "No. It's not so nice and comfortable." And okay, we decided we go as we are, no problem. And sure enough, when we went by, they had already this glance. "Now we really got gave you trouble. Maybe we don't allow you to enter." Sometimes they sent devotees away at the border. So they came, they wanted our luggage. And they went through everything, and everything was super suspicious for them. I decided I give this seminar on humility. I might as well become humble here. And I was really giving my best. I was helping them to pack everything out. "Is this all right to stand here now?" And they said, "Yes, yes, yes." And then I moved. "Is it all right if I stand here now?" I was super humble. And after only 50 minutes, the magic started to work. They inquired, and then they came to the tilak. Now, this looks like opium in some of the people. They asked, "What is this?" I said, "This is a very interesting, you know, it's part of our tradition. Give me some," and I explained how you put it on, and where you put it, and the holy names which you say, and made as much Krishna Katha as it was possible to not become suspicious. And soon, just by our, we really were very humble. It was like they called other people, and they were sitting, and they were asking many questions, and we were preaching in our best style. And I said to the man, "I think you should also now go more into spirituality in your life." And he said, "Yes, you're right. I'm becoming so fat, and you look so young still." And so on. "What should I do?" "Yes, do this and that," and so on. It really works, and it doesn't only work with people in the toll. It works also with devotees. If you can become humble, it is very good. It works. So this is my not so humble encouragement. Hare Krishna. Do you now have any questions? Well, it's not a sign of what is about care, of being compassionate to oneself. For instance, when one is tired, this is a very relevant subject after 1 week of seminars. I don't think you can somehow twist or bring this in the area of humility. I think it is real, to be real. I so much appreciate our Sridhar Maharaj's last words. He put his wisdom into a sutra. A sutra means a short formula. And he said, "Be yourself and contribute." I think it sounds so wise. And when you are tired, then you need to rest. This is so simple. I remember Prabhupada sent devotees who were, you know, like this on the wall. Do you look so tired. Hope I didn't damage anything. He sent them to bed to rest. This week I was also very tired. I came from Serbia to, this means preaching up to 2 o'clock in the morning, and then all these exciting seminars, and you think so much about them. So what to do? Then you're tired, and if you don't rest enough, you can't understand anything, and you feel miserable in the nicest seminar, because your heart is going to develop water in the feet if you become older, because the heart doesn't work any longer. This is real. When we're tired, we can maybe, if someone, we can rest a little bit more.
Yeah,
be your simplicity. I would just, at this point is so natural. Let us just say, when you are tired, this means you are tired. And when you are tired, this means you can't adopt any knowledge, your rounds will be miserable, then rest. I'm like this, you know. After it took me my 50th birthday to discover this simple fact. I thought this was Maya, and I know many of the listeners who listen to this seminar will be disturbed and will make a case out of it. No. What can we do? This is my honest opinion. If you're tired, sleep. Hare Krishna. Be normal. Yes. Prabhuji. What is the difference between the simple faith which we spoke of in the beginning and to be naive? Naive. Uh-huh. When I want to travel with a ship. Ah, yeah, ship. Yes. Everything makes perfect sense, Prabhu. I'm a little slow by nature. Yes. What's the difference between being simple and have simple faith and being naive? When we ask questions, we can sometimes put this. My answer, I will break out with my answer now out of the confines of your questions. I want to praise simplicity. Simplicity, in this case, with the ship story, means being straightforward. That's a very, very necessary quality. To tell the truth, because you know it is a principle, and you know what I can gain with lies is temporary and is adharmic and will not be of any use for me, and what I can gain with the truth is more useful to me. There's a difference between real money and false money. False money appears to be beneficial, but it is not really beneficial. It can bring you actually in great trouble if you are caught with false money. So there is a difference between what you gain through dharmic or spiritual principles and what you gain through adharmic principles. We have seen this many times. For instance, something which comes to mind in Germany is many of our devotees went on painting distribution, which is actually based on the way we did it, at least on adharmic principles. The painting seller said they had painted the paintings themselves and their original paintings. It was not true. These paintings had been made in Hong Kong by students who were in need of money, and so on. So we got a lot of money by these lying and cheating tendencies, but we lost it also. In the same way, when you work on your reputation, you know, it should. If you want to do something in this world, this is wonderful, but do it through real means, not through cheating means. When you do something through cheating means, you will always lose it. There's a difference between real money and false money. There is a difference between dharmically or Krishna consciously acquired benefits and those who are not. This is my main point. Yeah. There's a great difference. Kyo. What is the difference between true humility and being a coward? And you gave an explanation.
Thank you very much. You said a true humble person may say he can't do it, and he actually cannot do it because he is not so.
Somebody with power might say that I cannot do this or I cannot do that because I have an ability to pretend to be a humble person.
I can answer your question like this. With a little drawing. See, when we talk of humility in the Vaishnava context, it's a spiritual qualification. In true humility, we do not think so much about ourselves and our disqualifications. We think about Krishna and that we are his servants. Sometimes when we become, when we are trying to become humble, I feel our thought stream comes here to an important crossing point or turning point. One type of person goes into thinking about himself and goes into this, I'm not good enough, I'm useless, I am lusty, I eat too much, and I like mundane literature, and so on and so forth. This is can develop into a complex that a minority complex, which is often found in spiritual associations, also where there's a rigid regiment, where you're afraid of, if I don't do this, if I don't do that, if I don't live up to that expectation. And one meditates from morning to evening about himself. It's not humility. Humility means you come to this point where you realistically see, I'm a part of Krishna, I'm now in this world. Now I want to use my energy and talents in Krishna's service. If you think of Krishna as being great and you being smaller. By the thought of Krishna, Krishna is like the sun. He will soon take all the bad qualities out of you, the Krishna-san. And then all this what is bad will evaporate and so on. But bring Krishna into your life, then only it can be called true humility. Otherwise, it is not. It may be a minority complex, and that's not so helpful. The moment you think and meditate about all these bad qualities, you give them strength and they become bigger and bigger until they devour you. So think of Krishna, Kiyo. Then it will be good. Yes, I have come to the end of this presentation. I want to thank all of you very much from my heart. It was a great pleasure to talk. This is always a pleasure for a preacher, but especially I really like to talk about these subjects. I really hope that it is relevant for you. And once again, I want to say, Dharma Rakshati Rakshataha. Do these things, apply them in your life, make an adventure, go over your notes, go over your memories, then you will see your life changes for the better. Thank you very much. I wish you all the best. Hare Krishna.